Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to Psalm chapter 76. Psalm chapter 76, we are discussing living in an imperfect world. We have talked about injustice. We have mentioned that injustice happens to everybody. There's not one person in here that injustice has not happened to somewhere along the line. If you have lived a life that you've been free of injustice, I promise you it's coming. This is an imperfect world, and we will have injustice. I'm going to read a verse to you this morning, a very interesting verse. We're going to read it together and pray, and then we're going to talk some more about Joseph. Joseph, to me, is a very interesting creature. He is somebody that dealt with injustice his entire life. His entire life. And yet not one time, do you hear him question God. He's impressive, very impressive. So let's go ahead and read this. Psalm 76, verse 10. Let's all stand as we read the Word of God. The Bible says, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee." Let me read that again. "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain." Boy, that's good stuff. Brother Carl, could you lead us in prayer this morning, please?
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day that you've given us and the opportunity we have to come to your house and hear your word preached and explained to us. And be with Brother Dave now as he attempts to explain this verse to us and the many truths and promises that you have for us in your word. And help us to realize, dear Lord, that we are going to be judged because on the obedience that we give to our Lord.
Yes.
And that our motives won't count, but it'll be our obedience that counts. And so help us, dear Father, to have an understanding and the truth of your word. May we apply it to our hearts and minds. we would be better prepared to go forth in the coming days and serve you to our fullest extent. We ask and pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We just opened up Joseph last week just a little bit. Just to summarize how far we got, he was thrown in a pit by his brothers because he was a dreamer. And in this dream that the Lord gave him, or vision that he gave him, Joseph was going to be the one that his brothers would bow down to. His daddy loved Joseph more than all his children, not just more than any of his children. The Bible says all his children. Your Bible does not make a mistake there. Matter of fact, your Bible doesn't make a mistake anywhere. Amen. But in that, when he said that he loved him more than all of his children, that means that his daddy treated him differently than all of his brothers. He treated him in a way that was unfair or unjust. We do this in our own homes, and I told you I've been guilty of it many times. The children are treated differently. And everybody can love to say that they treat their children all the same, but it's not true. You treat your children differently from time to time. That unfairness or that injustice drove his brothers to do the same thing when they got older. Now let me explain something to you. We touched on this last week. Just because you've been treated unfairly does not give us the right to continue to treat others unfairly. It can explain a little bit, and there is some truth to this. There is some truth to if you were beaten when you were a child, there's some truth in the fact that you may choose to go to that sometime in your life. You may choose to be somebody that's a violent person. You do take on the characteristics of those that are around you. However, there's never an excuse or a thought process that this excuses you from any type of behavior. That does not mean that because your mother was beaten in front of you that you have the right to beat your wife. This does not give you the opportunity to act in such a way every single person is going to answer for what they do. I'm not going to answer for what Brother Rod does in his life. I'm not going to answer for what Brother Mark does in his life. I'm going to answer for what I do in my life. If I want to act the way that the Lord wants me to act, the Bible says that He is going to afford me the ability to do that as long as I seek Him out, as long as I read about Him, as long as I obey what He says, as Brother Carl preached. He will let me as long as I let Him. Well, that's good stuff. He will let me as long as I let Him, but I've got to let God first. It's not in you to do right. It's not in you. You are supposed to do wrong. It's what your body wants to do, but God can do right as long as we'll allow Him to do right through us. You can say amen to that. So we learned that he was thrown in a pit by his brothers, sold into slavery, moved into Egypt. Now, you must understand something. I want you to get a hold of this. We're going to just go a little bit of history here. He was sold into slavery in Egypt. Understand, he had this vision. Now, in our lives, we will come across things that we think God wants to happen in our lives. Some of us are even dead dog sure we know what God wants for our life. It's amazing how your timetable gets in the way. It's amazing that Joseph has these visions of his brothers going to worship, or not worship him, but they're going to bow down to him because he's going to be in charge. He gets this vision. He says, when? I never see Joseph asking the question throughout Genesis, when? Think about that for a minute. I never see Joseph saying, when, God? When are you going to put me in this position where your vision is promised I'd be put in? When? Never have I seen that. I read it over and over again last night, and I've got to be honest with you, I don't see Joseph ever getting ahead of God. Rod and Debbie desperately want to be full-time on the evangelistic tour, the blacks. I know that in his heart he wants to do this. I believe it would be wrong to say, God, when? God, whenever should be our answer. Joseph lived his life as such. And in our lives, we see things out in this world that we deem as injustice, but maybe isn't necessarily injustice at all. We see people that are advancing, and we say, God, why aren't you letting me advance? In our eyes, we set a timetable to what God wants to happen. I want to give you a thought here. Joseph was in Egypt approximately 12 years before the Lord decided to let his vision be true. 12 years. Would you be willing to wait 12 years for God to answer a promise for you? Would you stop trusting in God somewhere along the way? Would you stop trusting in God after a month? Would you stop, man alive, I'm going to tell you right now, we've had prayers that haven't been answered within a week and we question God's timetable. We question God's timetable after maybe 35 minutes. Well, glory to God, I thought sure that when I prayed this, God, that you'd answer the prayer. He may answer the prayer, but it may not be on your timetable. Joseph is a perfect example of somebody that never questioned when. He just kept on serving God anyhow. Now, along the way, Joseph was successful. Now, wait a minute now. Joseph was successful not because of Joseph being successful, but because of God helping him to have success. You read in the scriptures, Joseph gets sold. Now, listen, it's not probably in Joseph's plans to get thrown in the pit. Wait a minute, you're supposed to be serving me, not tossing me into a hole. Think about that for a minute. Well, Lord, you made me a preacher. Why in the world am I not running a church of 6,000? Think about that for a minute. Do you live your life that way? I've got to be honest with you. There's times in my life when I said, God, you've called me to preach. Why am I not winning 100 souls a week? What? It could be on God's timetable that he told. Brother Kativer has come to me and said, I might be called to preach. Well, glory to God, wait on God. Because it's God's timetable, not our timetable. We should be worried about serving him and obedience to him as opposed to worrying about what he's doing right now. Well, God, you're not giving it to me. We live in a society, think about this for a minute. We live in a society of what have you done for me lately? Good night in the morning. What have you done for me lately? We lose friendships over some. If you don't do something for me last week, we lost our friendship. Well, you don't care about me anymore. You know how many times I've heard that? Well, good Lord have mercy. Brother Dave didn't call me when I was sick. I must not care anymore. It's amazing to me how we have to have things now. How we got to have the fire come down right now. Do you know how many things happened before in that man's life before the fire came down? Do you know how many things that this man made decisions in his life long before he ever got to calling down the fire of God? Do you think Elijah just decided, you know what? I got saved the other week. I think I'm going to call fire down today. Listen, you got to get a lot closer to God before you start demanding things. Boy, that's good preaching, Brother Dave. We live in this world of injustice. We live in this imperfect world. In our minds, we see what a perfect world would be. And now, stay with me here. We see in our minds, in Joseph's mind, he never said this, but in Joseph's mind, a perfect world may have been that he kept that coat of many colors. A perfect world may have been that he held on to that coat. It never got goat blood poured on it and shredded and lied about. He may have said, well, holding on to that coat is what I should have been. I should have been standing and my brother should have been kneeling. I don't understand why you throw me into the pit. God, why you told me that my brothers would be worshiping. Instead of worshiping me, they're throwing me into a pit. God, I don't understand. And I'm going to turn my back on you, God, because you have not done what you said you was going to do. And because you have not done that, Lord, I'm no longer going to serve you. You've lost my trust. You've lost my faith. And I'm no longer going to do that because you've thrown me into a pit. I don't see that from Joseph. Sold into slavery. Well, he sold into slavery. Certainly, he's away from his brothers now. How can his brother? Think with me. You got to stay with me here. His brothers are no longer even near him. How in the world are these visions? Maybe I saw the vision wrong. Well. Maybe God really wasn't telling me the truth here. Maybe God made a mistake. Maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I made a mistake getting saved. Maybe being a Christian isn't all it's cracked up to be. Because, man, you tell me, Brother Dave, that leading a Christian life is the greatest thing ever, and you'd never trade it for anything. But I got to be honest with you, the roses are full of thorns in this life. We live in an imperfect world. What's God done for me lately? I never see Joseph saying that. He goes into slavery, sold into Potiphar's house. Well, he excels, so the Lord puts his hand. Matter of fact, the Lord never had his hand off of him. Even in the pit, the Lord never had his hand off of him. And he takes him through the pit. He takes him into slavery, takes him into Potiphar's house. Potiphar makes him second in charge immediately. His house starts to be successful, and then his harlot of a wife comes and says, I've got to lay with you. Joseph says, I don't think so. Now listen, wait a minute now. He was thrown into a pit. There was an injustice there. No man should own any other man. Potiphar's his master. I shouldn't be a slave. Matter of fact, I don't like the fact that he owns me. And because of that, I'm going to go ahead and do this injustice. No, his answer is not, I'm going to do this injustice against Potiphar. His answer is, I'm not going to do this wickedness unto God. No, I know he's thrown me into a pit. I know he sold me into slavery, but I'm not going to do this wickedness unto God. I'm not going to stoop to sin, even though the things that I'm doing right now, the place that I'm in may not be what God is doing, but I'm not going to charge God foolishly here. I'm going to do it. And he runs out without his clothes to stay away from that woman. And then he's unjustly accused again. Well, I don't know if I'd keep serving God now. How many of us would have quit? How many of us would have quit already? Now he's put in jail, in the king's jail. He goes down there, and because of God, he finds good standing with the warden. Now, I don't know what that means to me. I found good standing with the runner of the Huskow. Thank goodness, the warden loves me, but I'm still in jail. Now, wait a minute, I'm nowhere near my brothers. My brothers are nowhere to be found. This vision that God gave me, I'm in jail 2 years. 2 years I'm in prison. And although I've found the most comfortable place I can in a jail because the warden loves me and God's got his hand on me, I still am nowhere near my brothers. God, you promised me this great thing, and here I am in jail. How in the world is it ever going to work out? And Joseph turns his back and walks out on God, says, no more. I'm done with you. You can't do this for me. I'm going to walk out on you. How many of us would have said that? I don't see that anywhere with Joseph. Oh, that's good preaching. You can say amen this morning. It's not too early to say amen. We are literally living our lives with God. If you don't do something for me now, I'm going to walk out on you. Joseph's talking to a baker and a candlestick maker. He decides to interpret a dream for them. How would you like to be on the one end of the butler and the baker dream interpretation? The butler comes up and says, this is what I've dreamed. Joseph says, within 3 days, you're going to be serving in your normal position again. The baker says, well, good man, I had a dream too. It was a lot like his. This is three baskets and these fowl were coming and eating the bread out of the top. And the one on my head, what does that mean? Am I getting out too? Joseph says, yeah, you're getting out. And you're going to hang. How would you like to be? How would you like to be the baker? Joseph interprets the dream. He tells the butler, hey, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Joseph, you're about to be victim to injustice again. Don't forget me. Did the butler tell Pharaoh? No. He stays in there some more. He stays in there until Pharaoh has a dream. Joseph gets out. God interprets the dream through Joseph. By the way, you notice in the scripture here, and I'm not going to take time to look over all these, but Joseph always gives God the glory. Always. I never see a time when Joseph said, well, bless God, give me your dream. I'll interpret it because I can. I am the dream interpreter. He always says, don't interpretations of dreams belong to God? Tell me. Because I've got a God who can. Now, wait a minute. If you got thrown in a pit, I don't think you're going to be giving God any credit. If you got sold into slavery, I don't think you're going to give God any credit. If you got falsely accused, you're not going to give God any credit. How long? We would have turned our back long time ago. But thank God, Joseph says, no, I believe all this is for a reason. It isn't easy, but I believe it's all for a reason. I've been very, very victimized by injustice, but he never one time said, God, I can't stand the injustice. Instead, he decides, I'm going to serve God anyhow. Gives Pharaoh his dream, and you know how it goes. He sets up the whole economy for Egypt for the next 14 years. He sets up the economy. How? He says, we're going to save as much grain as we possibly can. We're going to feed everybody for these 7 years, but we're going to save up enough so because 7 years of dearth are going to come to this land. There's going to be no food. And Egypt's going to be the only place that has any. Now, we can read the end of the story, Brother Mike Freimeyer. We can read the end. We know that it all worked out. We read the end, and we say, man, glory to God. It was right that Joseph stayed with God. But we're supposed to learn from that. We're supposed to learn what's going on in our lives, maybe nothing but a pit. We need to learn that what's going on in our lives may be nothing but being sold into slavery. We need to learn that in our lives, the injustices that are happening in our lives may be nothing but being put in jail. We need to realize that injustices may be happening for our good. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Joseph says, let's start taking up corn. He stopped numbering it was so much. The Lord literally gave them 7 years of absolute plenty. So much that could not be contained in their storehouses. And I'm sure you know how this goes. The 7 years of famine come. 2 years into the famine, Israel moves into the land of Goshen. It's amazing that somewhere in there, his brothers come. Now, wait a minute. This is 12 years. 12 years. And finally, at least 12. And then finally, the Lord comes and says, you know what? Now I'm going to show you what I had in mind. Now I'm going to show you what I had in mind for your life. Christian, injustices come, don't look at them as hurdles. No, listen to me. Don't look at them as hurdles. Don't look at them as hurdles. I hear it all the time. Well, justice is just a little obstacle. No, it's not. It may be a step to take you closer to God. Injustices are put there for a purpose. We go through tough times for a purpose. I got to ask you a question. What if every part of your life was all lilies and roses? When would we call on God? When would we call on God if our life was all perfect? When would we call on God? Glory to God, then the only time you're going to see that is when we get to heaven. We go through hard times to watch our Savior work. We go through hard times to watch our God answer. We go through hard times to watch our God do miracles. We go through hard times so we can see an $11,000 offering come in the midst of a recession. Apparently, God's not interested in what the world's going through right now. Apparently, God's not interested in the Obama economy. Apparently, God's not interested in the fact that half of us don't have jobs. Apparently, God's just interested in the fact of us going out and doing what He wants us to do. Can anyone say amen this morning? Amen. Glory to God, we live in a world that's unjust. We live in a world that's full of things that happen to us. But you know what? We still have a God that's completely in control. Turn in your Bibles Let's go back to Genesis 50. Joseph's brothers, matter of fact, all of Israel, had lived in Egypt for quite some time. They have been accustomed now to living on the fat of the land. They had been accustomed to being, even though they were shepherds, they were held in high esteem because Egyptians did not have shepherds. Egyptians, it says in the scripture here that shepherds were an abomination to the Egyptians, so they didn't have shepherds. They employed the Hebrews. They've been in the land of Goshen for a long time, and the Lord had multiplied them greatly. Now, we know what happens in Exodus, but let's not get there yet. Let's look at what happens here. When you're looking at Genesis chapter 50, the brothers have been there. Joseph had treated them well. Joseph, I want to ask you a question. You that have read this, you that have looked over this, did Joseph ever do anything bad to his brothers? Not one time. You're not going to see it. The injustice, now let me ask you a question. Did the injustice happen to Joseph? Lots of them, not just one, but lots of them. But one in particular was started by his brothers, correct? So if anybody was going to repay, Joseph had the ability and the reason to repay. Now we like to say, well, glory to God, he did that to me, I'm going to do that to him. It's revenge. But I gotta be honest with you, I believe that we take what the Lord owns a lot of times into our own hands. The Bible says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So in other words, we don't have it. We do not have the ability. We don't have ownership of vengeance. That's what the Bible says. If you don't like that, take it up with the author. But and I'm not up here saying I've never taken vengeance and liked it. Oh, be honest now. There's sometimes, yeah, you got what you deserve. I don't ever see Joseph doing that here. And look what it says. Now, they've lived in this place for quite a while. And look what it says in verse 14. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, hear me now. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Now listen. Well, glory to God, he was doing us well because dad was alive. He was doing us well because if he'd have done anything wrong, then his daddy would have said, no, Joseph, you ought not do that. He was sure that the advocate for them was dad. No, the advocate for them was dad. Listen to me now. Listen to me. I understand. And by the way, the brothers were right in feeling that way. They were right. Because let me tell you, Joseph had in his hand all of Israel. Say amen to that. The whole nation, he was number two. He had become a father to Pharaoh. That's what the Bible says. He had become a father to Pharaoh. He was in charge. The only place he wasn't in charge was in the throne. And to be real honest with you, he was in charge there too. Because Pharaoh did whatever he said. Good thing he did. God blessed him for it. In the palm of his hand was all of Israel. In the palm of his hand was all of his brothers. He could have said, as soon as his daddy died, he could have said, I want this cavalry of chariots to run in my brothers, and I want him to run them over. I want to dig a 50-foot pit, and I want to cast them in that pit, just like they cast me in a pit. I want to give them back what they gave to me, and I want to make sure that they feel the hurt that I feel. I want to make sure they feel the hurt that I feel. How many times in our lives have we whispered those words? I would to God they could feel the hurt and the pain that I feel. The only way, my friends, I want you to see these scriptures. I want you to see this dealing. Everybody has injustice. We always have to look at the Bible for our answers. You got to understand this. We're going to find the answers in the Bible. We're not going to find the answers from Benny Hinn. We're not going to find the answers from Rod Parsnips. We're not going to find the answers from any of those guys. We're going to find the answers from the Scripture. That's where we're going to find the answer. I'm glad you caught that, Miss Debbie. Verse 16. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying. They lied like a rug right here. They lied. But they were afraid, and I don't blame them. So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Injustice happens to everybody, and I'm going to show you how to break it right here. How do you break? Because injustice is a cycle. It really is a cycle. If injustice happens to you and you give injustice to somebody else, how can you expect the injustice that you passed on not to keep on passing on? How can we expect it? The brothers in their minds had no thought. They watched injustice all their life. Come on now. They watched injustice their whole life. Their daddy was a great example of injustice. They watched their daddy. They watched their daddy. They watched their daddy, their own dad, give injustice time after time after time. They were sick and tired of being treated differently. So they took the cycle of injustice in their own hands and passed it on down to their brother. Let me show you how he breaks it. Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, boy, you got to get this. Injustice is wrapped up right here. Injustice is put in the grave right here. Injustice is stopped. The cycle is stopped right here. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good. To bring to pass as it is in this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, you got to get a hold of this. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he, listen to me now, and he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. The circle of injustice was broken. It was broken because he did something that his brothers did not deserve. He did something that his brothers did not merit. He did something that his brothers certainly did not earn. He gave them mercy. Do you want to know how to break the cycle of injustice? Show mercy. Show mercy. I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that the pews of the independent fundamental Baptist churches would be filled today if we could stop injustice. But you know what's amazing to me as I read these verses and I look at the story of Joseph, what an example, by the way. In my opinion, Joseph rivals Job. He rivals Job. You may not agree with that, but I'm telling you, you need to read all the things that happened to Joseph. You need to read that because Joseph rivals Job in things that happened to him and the way that he handled himself. He never questioned God. I questioned God when I cut myself. Joseph never questioned God. We can't be Joseph. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. We look at these Bible people as there's no way we could ever be as them. Let me explain something to you. Joseph gave you the answer. Joseph gave you the answer. God is the one that brought me through this. God is the one you wanted me to have evil, but God meant the evil that you gave to me for good. The evil was necessary. Oh, man, you got to hold on to that. What do you mean that evil was necessary? Brother David, that doesn't make any sense. The evil, Joseph is saying, was necessary to save much people alive. That means that God gave him those visions so he'd get thrown in a pit. That means that the coat was put together so Joseph would get thrown in a pit. Oh, that's good, man. That means that the things that have been brought into your life have been brought into your life so they could be used for good. Well, I don't see it, Brother Dave. Neither did Joseph. Neither did Joseph. You tell me he saw it. Oh, we get to read about it. Joseph had to live it. He had to be in prison for 2 years. And in those 2 years, did you ever see him questioning God? Oh, no. No way. Injustice comes, my friend. Injustice comes. I've dealt you injustices from time to time, some of you. Yes, I have. No doubt about it. Didn't mean to, but maybe God meant to. Man, not one amen. That's good. Think about that for a minute. I didn't mean to. I don't mean to hurt anybody, but I'm human. It's coming. You've hurt people. You don't even realize it sometimes. You've hurt people, and you've been hurt. But that does not mean that we desire, and as a Christian, you should desire to see that hurt as a stepping stone, not as an obstacle. It gets preached a lot that it's an obstacle. It's not an obstacle in your path. It's not an obstacle. The pit was not an obstacle for Joseph. The pit was an answer. The pit was not an obstacle. It was an answer. The things that happen in your life, the injustice that had come, they are not obstacles put in our path to trip over. There's no stumbling block there. That's a stepping stone. Glory to God. Stand up on the injustice and say, I stop the injustice now. I trust God. I'm preaching to myself. What I'm preaching is coming off that wall right into my ears. I need to hear this. I need to hear this because I several times in my life have wanted vengeance. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to deal in injustice with somebody else because my life has been full of injustice. That's not what God wants us to do. That's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to look at this verse right here. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. For am I in the place of God? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Am I in the place of God that I can choose your fate? I do not have the position to say, this is what I'm going to do to fill. I do not have that. That's God's place. But as for you, you thought evil against me. Come on now, you're visioning somebody in your head right now. I can see it. I can see your wheels turning with somebody in my past. Think about that person. Somebody in your past has done you wrong. Think about that person. You thought evil against me, but God meant that evil that you did. God meant that hurt that you gave me. God meant that unto good. Don't see it as an obstacle today. See the injustice that's come into your life as something to make you better.
Yes. Yes. Instead of better.
God is amazing. Will you let him be? Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach in Sunday school. Lord, please bless the church hour that's coming up. Oh, God, anoint me today. I need you. I can't do it. God, I cannot do it without you. I can't walk my steps every day without you. God, please help us. Help us to realize we're not above this. And Lord, help us also to realize that we're not below this. Lord, we can call on you at any time to break the cycle of injustice. Oh God, help us to break that cycle today. Help us to look to you and realize that we need you. And what happens in our lives, Lord, you've promised. What's happening in our lives, you're meaning it for good. Lord, help us to always hold on to that verse. Lord, be with us today. Let us have a great service. If there's any lost ones, Lord, let them leave here no longer lost. Be with us today in a special way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.